This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Today, after weeks of speculation in the nation's newsrooms and artistic circles, the wait is over. About 40 minutes ago, the 2005 Pulitzer Prize winners were announced at Columbia University in New York City. The champagne corks are popping for a select few, while for the rest, April has once again proved to be the cruelest month. Today's winners join the illustrious company of William Faulkner, Alice Walker, Robert Frost, Wynton Marsalis, and Thornton Wilder. To introduce us to some of the newest members of this elite club, we turn now to David Folkenflik, NPR's media correspondent. He joins us here in Studio 3A. Good to have you with us, David.
Good to join you.
So who won the highest profile awards?
Well, there are a lot of familiar names here. You've got the Los Angeles Times, which took home two for public service. It also shared a Pulitzer for foreign coverage. You have the Boston Globe in explanatory reporting. Amy Doxer Marcus of the Wall Street Journal won for beat reporting. A lot of familiar names and mastheads here.
What about the award for public service? That's a particularly prestigious one, is it not?
Oh, it's sort of the gold medal of them all. The Los Angeles Times won for an extraordinary five-part series, which really shows what can happen when a newspaper decides to bring all its resources to bear. It looked at what's called Drew King Hospital, which is in Watts, which is a fairly blighted area of Los Angeles, and looked at a hospital which essentially is failing to serve the people in its area. Not only was it not providing very good care, in many cases through a neglect and negligence, it was killing many of the people brought there to be treated. And in day after day of coverage, it took it apart using hundreds of interviews, material gathered from lawsuits, records research, really a formidable investigative work.
What were some of the other particularly interesting stories that were honored here? You mentioned the newspapers. What were some of the stories that were being awarded?
Well, if you looked at the New York Times, won a Pulitzer for national reporting. Walter Bogdanich, and forgive me if I'm mispronouncing it, but he won for a very intense look he gave to the safety of railroad crossings, where it was showed that this very cozy connection of regulators and industry leaders had allowed things not to be fixed, sort of the liability to be cast upon the public in a way that allowed the railroads to escape scrutiny.
And you mentioned the New York Times, we've mentioned the LA Times, but the Pulitzer Prize often likes to recognize smaller papers. Were any smaller papers awarded this year?
Well, perhaps the one to look at would be for investigative reporting, which is usually extraordinarily competitive. The Willamette Week won for a piece it did on the former mayor of Portland and former governor of the state of Oregon, who many years ago, nearly three decades ago, had a three-year-long sexual involvement with his 14-year-old babysitter. That constitutes statutory rape. The Oregonian, the major newspaper of the state based in Portland, had sort of allowed that story to slip by both at the time and more recently when it had a tip. But this sort of scrappy weekly went after it with real vigor and was able to break it apart with interviews and with documents.
What do the Pulitzers mean to newspapers these days? Is it as important as it always was, or a Pulitzer Prize?
A Pulitzer Prize for old-fashioned newspapers, often derided as being part of the mainstream media, is, I mean, it's the mountaintop. It's like the top of Everest for a climber in that it allows you to have this identity of a serious crusading newspaper. And, you know, people at the Weekly will live out on this for many decades. It will not translate into profits. It will not probably do a thing for circulation. What it may do is contribute, if you're looking for a monetary value, it'll contribute to something called the brand identity, which is the sense of, hey, this is an authoritative news source. So if you look at major regional newspapers, the Cleveland Plain Dealer won a Pulitzer for commentary, the Sacramento Bee for editorial writing. This, they can say to people in their region, hey, you know, you don't need to just listen to our advertisements. This external validation, the top of the land has said, we do it better than anyone else.
And, of course, awards are also given out in the arts, and we haven't talked about that yet.
So that's right.
Maybe you can summarize that for us, and we can talk about some of those winners as well.
Well, John Patrick Shanley, whom I believe you've spoken to, the author of the play Doubt, sort of recreated episodes, I guess, from his upbringing in the Bronx. It was a play exploring the difficulty that the Catholic Church has had in dealing with the very thorny issue of abuse, child abuse. There was Ghost Wars, a nonfiction book written by Steve Call, the former managing editor of the Washington Post. Interestingly, it was the only recognition the Post got this year. Many of the larger marquee newspapers seemed to sort of expect a sense of entitlement, and Post didn't get it on this side, but the Ghost Wars were about the fights against Osama bin Laden by the U.S. and the Western coalition. David Hackett Fisher wrote a book on called Washington's Crossing that had to do with the Revolution and some of the choices that General Washington had to make, that one for a book in history. And there are a number of others besides. We're just beginning to process this. It all came, it started to come in over the wire just a few minutes before we went to air.
Yeah, Marilynne Robinson's book, Gilead. Some people may remember her first novel, Housekeeping, which came out in 1980 and then was made into a movie after that. Gilead is a story, a novel, and she won for fiction. It's a novel about a dying preacher in Iowa, and it's gotten a great deal of attention, I think, in the literary world. So we talked about what these prizes mean for journalists. What about in the literary world? I've actually been told I covered the National Book Awards, and I think at least one person I spoke with, and I don't remember who it was at this moment, but said that to some degree, the Pulitzer is becoming almost more important than, say, the National Book Award in the literary world.
Well, there's no question that it will be something that goes in the first sentence of any obituary written about any author who has won the award. And it's got such a cachet. I think it does rub off in that way. Obviously, there's the National Book Awards. There's the Penn Faulkner Awards. These are major awards. There's not really the equivalent in the print journalism world. I think in the literary world, it's taken very seriously.
And for these authors, of course, if you walk into a bookstore, there's going to be a big sign that says Pulitzer Prize winning. It'll help a book like Gilead, I would imagine.
That's right.
Sell more books.
I think it actually does more for the non-journalism recipients financially and commercially than it does for those in the print.
Harder to measure then, I would think, for, let's say, a playwright. I mean, Doubt just moved to Broadway. You're right. I did do a piece on it last week for Morning Edition. And a very interesting play, a very interesting take on the Catholic sex scandal starring two very powerful actors. It's just gone to Broadway. But, you know, I guess it's an honor, but it's not going to really make any monetary difference at this point for somebody like John Patrick Shelley. But maybe it'll bring more people into the theater.
Well, and more critics to pay attention to it, more people writing a few articles about it. In both the literary and the journalistic worlds, this helps to focus the spotlight on the recipients. And that can often be a tipping point. It can help people to pay a bit more attention than they once had.
Tell us a little bit about the history of the Pulitzers. They were first awarded in 1917. What is it that they are exactly honoring?
They are honoring sort of the what are considered to be by the jurors exemplars of the different categories. You have public service and breaking news and investigative and so on. And the idea is to pick out something that best exemplifies the highest standards of journalism. It's a very subjective process, and you see that play out in sort of the dissections and arguments that take place in newsrooms across the country, both leading up to and following the announcement of the awards.
Who are the judges? Who decides on the winners?
They tend to be past recipients and past distinguished newspaper editors and journalists.
This is one of those things where it's kept very secret. Nobody really truly knows until the moment the awards are announced, which I think was about an hour ago, maybe. Why so secretive? Why don't you get any advance notice of all, even of who's being considered?
Well, it doesn't work quite like the Oscars, where you announce the finalists, although they're called nominees, and then you see all these ads taken out in the trade publications, and people are sending out CDs and lobbying and the like. And that's what the administrators of the Pulitzer say they're hoping to avoid, is having that kind of jockeying and lobbying. That's not to say it doesn't go on. It just goes on a bit out of the public eye. But they'd rather, you know, have it be a very civil, a very polite process, and therefore they try to keep it very close to the vest.
And is there a Pulitzer for music now as well?
There is. There is a Pulitzer for music. Some years ago in the mid-90s, they actually awarded the first Pulitzer for jazz, and it was seen as long overdue, and they started to award a few lifetime awards as well. And more recently, I believe last year, they tried to expand it. So they said it's not just the best written or performed, but it could include recorded music, which was seen as a slight affront to the traditionalists in the group. This year, it was awarded to Stephen Stuckey for the second concerto for orchestra, so hardly a particularly radical form of music, even if the music itself is quite modern.
Did they ever decide, I mean, they have a lot of different categories. Did they ever decide, nothing won in this category? I mean, is it ever passed over that way?
That does happen. Jurors are, in fact, in the bequest of Joseph Pulitzer, the benefactor and newspaper magnate from the turn of the last century, he explicitly says, hey, you know, if it doesn't match the highest levels, the jurors are perfectly entitled to withhold an award that year.
Have you ever been in a newsroom and somebody won a Pulitzer?
I have, several times.
Yeah? Tell us about that.
Oh, it's very exciting. What happens is, despite the push for secrecy, it leaks out. And so the day before, the morning before, top editors tend to know. It tends to leak a little bit. You tend to see the recipient blush or try to stay out of the newsroom. And then building up to the time, people come in from distant bureaus to share the moment. You start to see a lot of bodies in a newsroom in the middle of an afternoon where there might be a lot of people chasing stories.
Yeah.
Suddenly you see a little buffet being set up and wine is rolled in on a cart. And people crowd around, usually around a news desk near a top editor's office, and they sort of wait for the Associated Press, which sends us in little one-paragraph updates for each category. And when the one for that particular newsroom arrives, there's a great shout and clamor. And it really tends to be a shared, exciting moment.
Yeah. Do you aspire to win a Pulitzer someday, David?
Well, I'm myself a recovering newspaper man, having worked in print 13 years here in the broadcast industry. They don't award Pulitzer, so I'm not too worried about it.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today to talk about the Pulitzer Prizes, which were announced this afternoon. We've been speaking with NPR media correspondent David Falkenflik, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.